Good afternoon, everyone. We'll start with this meeting of Cabinet. Welcome. It's Tuesday, the 15th of November. We'll start with item one, to receive apologies for absence. None received. We are all here. Declarations of interest, item two. Does anybody have any declarations of interest? No. Item three, to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on 18th of October 2022. I'm happy to propose those minutes. So I have a seconder. All those in favour? Correct record. Yes, they are. Fantastic. I'll sign those after the shortly. Item four, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. There's no urgent business. Item five, the forward plan, please, Chief Exec.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of November right the way through to the 28th of February 2023. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Any questions on the forward plan from members of Cabinet? No? Okay. We'll move on to item six, tourism plan year two evaluation. Can I ask Sarah Botham, please, to present? Thank you.
The purpose of this report is to provide a second year update on the progress of the tourism plan. Following the first year review of the tourism plan in 2021, the action plan, which was framed around three key objectives, tourism audit, partnership working and MarComs, was updated to include additional actions and priorities following changes to the focus of our work on tourism. So just a brief recap. Objective one, the tourism audit, as part of the natural evolution and progression of the tourism plan, a visitor audit has been completed. It's been compiled using data available from 2019 and 2020. And provides a baseline figure for the value of tourism in the borough, which is estimated at around £197 million per year. And that's based on the 2019 figures, which is the last full year pre-COVID. The audit is going to be used to help share and inform future marketing and promotions work, providing a greater understanding of the visitor market and staffs. Work is also continuing to compile up-to-date visitor intelligence, so we've commissioned a specialist tourism research agency. This was due to conclude in early autumn, but due to cancellation of events during September, the work will now be concluded in December. We've had the first meeting of the Tourism Partnership Board under our partnership working objective. This was held in June 2022. Membership of that board will continue to be reviewed to ensure it reflects the sector. Quite a lot of work has been undertaken under the objective three MarComs. So the newly established Tourism Partnership has created further opportunities to improve communication with key partners. We now have a dedicated tourism marketing plan, which is included in the appendix. This has been developed to improve promotion of the area, and a number of promotional initiatives have been used through 2022-23. The original tourism plan was focused on the updating of the tourism web pages on the council's corporate site, but work is now underway to develop a standalone brand and website for tourism in East Staffordshire, and Big Wave have been commissioned to produce the new website, which is on track to launch by the end of March 23. Moving forward, there are plans to support continued evolution of the Council's tourism strategy. A new tourism service, which will have two specific tourism offices, will sit within the cultural services team, but will also work alongside our regen colleagues. Once the new website and tourism brand are established, an annual calendar of seasonal campaigns will be developed. Basically, this report concludes the first stage of the Council's tourism plan. Plan that was approved by Council in 2020 has created a framework which will continue to support and promote tourism in the borough. Recommendations, as detailed in section 13, are to endorse and approve the findings in this report.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Good to see the progress that we've made so far on this. Councillor Ashcroft.
Yep. I just want to thank the team for all the hard work, actually. This is a very, very long plan. You know, we're at the very, very early stages. The audit itself is really, really important. Without that, we can't find ways forward and the right ways forward. The partnership board is fantastic. The input they're having is huge. And again, all helping us to move forward. The website, again, I can't thank you enough, because this is going to take a really long time. And we've got to get it right. So thank you for all your hard work.
Fantastic. Any other members of Cabinet wish to speak? No? Okay. Can I propose we approve the recommendations in set out in section 13, please? Can I have a seconder? Councillor Ashcroft, all those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to item 7, a selective licensing scheme evaluation, fifth year. Can I ask Rachel Little to present, please?
Selective licensing was designated in September 2017 following Cabinet approval in June 2017. It aimed to improve the condition and management of privately rented accommodation in the eastern area of Anglesey. This report provides a final review and evaluation of the scheme. The scheme has been reviewed annually and has demonstrated ongoing compliance with the licensing requirements, with the vast majority of properties being granted a licence. Whilst the third and fourth years of the scheme were significantly affected by COVID, inspections and revisits undertaken in the final year have found a high number of Category 2 hazards, but a reduction in Category 1 hazards. Overall, we have granted 371 licences and undertaken 539 inspections and revisits. 71% of inspections have identified hazards, with fire safety, damp and mould, electrical hazards and falls being the most common hazard identified. 67 properties were found to be unsatisfactory and 318 properties required improvements. 7 enforcement notices have been served along with 4 civil penalties as an alternative to prosecution. 10 HMOs were identified, 2 of which were licensable, and complaints related to antisocial behaviour have reduced. There's been no increase in homelessness, but there has been turnover of properties, although these have remained within the private rented sector. The average fee has also remained low despite an increase to fees in 2018 and 2019 and the reduced use of early discounts that were available at the start of the scheme. The scheme has improved the working relationship between council officers, landlords and tenants. The number of landlords that attend the Landlords Forum has increased, and a selective licensing officer is now available for advice and compliance and assistance with rogue landlords. This has resulted in landlords and agents being made aware of their responsibilities for managing their properties. However, the level of compliance still requires improvement. Future inspections will therefore focus on ensuring that landlords undertake all works required during the new selective licensing scheme.
Thank you very much. Any comments from Cabinet members? Councillor Peters.
Yeah, there we are. Yes, this is a comprehensive end of term report, as it were. It's very, very comprehensive and detailed, and I'm more than satisfied with its content. For me, paragraph 515 captures the relationship and all the hard work that's been put in by the officer team. And the parish council, the forum that we had some time ago also made sure that the community were aware of exactly what the officer team were doing on this piece of work. So I'd ask members to note 515. It's very, very important. And I'm minded to think we don't need an annual report anymore at this moment in time. I think during our one-to-ones with Mark and yourself, Rachel, we can perhaps identify a time if we need to resurrect that option. Okay, well, thank you for that. That's my comment, leader. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? So I remember this when it first started. It's quite controversial. Both members of the public were quite concerned about it, and a number of members were as well, including me. I remember it was quite clear, though, that there was an ambition to increase the quality of housing in the selective licensing area, and as you can see, it certainly seems to have done that. So I think Councillor Peter's point around annual reports. It's important we keep these things under review. But we could have annual reports on every service the council does, and we'd all be very busy every month. So I'm happy for it to continue as it is, and hopefully we'll continue to see improvements in standards of housing in the selective licensing area. Can I propose we approve recommendations set out in section 13, please? Could I have a seconder? Councillor Sankey, all those in favour? Thank you, that's unanimous. Okay, we'll move on to item 8, Climate Change and Nature Action Plan Interim Report of Progress 2022-23. Can I ask Mark Jeffcoat to present, please?
Thank you, Chair. The first purpose of this report is to present interim progress on the Climate Change and Nature Action Plan for this financial year. Second, the report presents the annual carbon dioxide emissions for both the borough and the council. Third, it recommends additional actions to including the Climate Change and Nature Action Plan to meet the requirements of the Nature Recovery Motion that was approved by Council back in March. And finally, the paper presents the refreshed Climate Change and Nature Strategy, which has already been approved by EDR. I shall start with the carbon dioxide emissions. The carbon dioxide emissions for the borough have gone down 35.1% since the base year of 2005. So this is a very positive downward trend. In terms of where the emissions come from, we've got approximately 20% from residential buildings, approximately another 20% from road transport, approximately 30% from industry and commerce, and then approximately 10% from livestock. In terms of the council's own CO2 emissions, we've seen a 40% reduction since the base year of 2009-10. So again, another very positive trend. The key points to note here are that 41% of the emissions actually come from the leisure facilities, and additionally 38% come from our own vehicle fleet. Only 15% comes from the council's corporate buildings. So in terms of implementation of the Climate Change and Nature Action Plan, all of the individual actions have been RAG rated. And as it stands at the moment, we have 42 actions rated green, one action rated red, and 14 actions where we haven't yet started work. In terms of the red action, that's the refresh of the air quality management plan. The reason this is rated as red is because the action plan cannot be reviewed until the integrated transport plan has been finalised by County Highways. That hasn't been done yet, and unfortunately we don't have a date. Thirdly, I've proposed 10 actions to meet the requirements of the Nature Recovery motion. These are included in the Climate Change Action Plan in the appendix for people to take a look at. And finally, with the refreshed Climate Change and Nature Strategy, there are two points to make. The strategy has four aims. The first aim is to protect climate change from man-made climate change. The second aim, to adapt to the consequences of climate change. The third aim, to protect and enhance nature. And the fourth aim is to use resources wisely and minimise waste and pollution. And the strategy contains a section on each of those. And the other point to note is that the target date in the strategy is actually net zero 2050 rather than net zero 2040, which was the original recommendation when the climate emergency was declared back in 2018. The reason for the change of date, putting the target back 10 years, is that since we declared a climate emergency here in East Staffordshire, the government have published their net zero strategy. And without the government delivering on the actions committed to with the net zero strategy, there's no way that we in the borough can achieve our aims. So we don't want to be setting ourselves up to fail. And secondly, if we move the target date back to 2050, this brings us in line with the County Council, who've also have a net zero target date of 2050. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to thank Mark and the team under Rachel for this report. It's a moving feast, and as we saw in Sharm el-Sheikh over the last few days, that things are changing globally and we're not actually making the progress that we are supposed to do as a world. China is actually now emitting the greatest amount of carbon emissions in the world and are not actually taking action to actually reduce that. Nevertheless, we have our targets. We have our action plan. That is being honed and that is being carefully monitored. We are joining different groups in terms of climate change within the borough, within the county and nationally. And we are making sure that we can actually deliver our climate change action plan following our strategy, as Mark said. I'm very confident that we have people in place who understand climate change, understand what is needed. The problem we have is having the resources to deliver it, and we're still waiting on government and county council in terms of resource that is going to be put in place to actually deliver the climate change action plan.
Thank you, Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Leader. I'd like to echo a number of Ray's comments. I think it's a very positive report. I particularly like figures 1 and 2 about showing the impact of our CO2 reduction. I think they're really excellent, and I'm pleased about the ongoing trend as well. So I'm particularly pleased about that. It's a bit of a shame that we've got the one red item, because we would have had a full clean sweep of how well we've done on this, because there's been a lot of work been done on this, which is as Councillor Faulkner says, is down to progress, like a progress from the county. Do we have any details of when they're going to complete their actions? Please, do we have any details of when they're doing that? Thank you.
No, not as yet. We have chased them several times, and so far awaiting a response. We believe that the integrated transport strategy, they don't want to update it until the local plan has been refreshed. So we're trying to agree some sort of way forward in terms of that, because the integrated transport strategy also links with the air quality action plans and a lot of our other issues as well.
Okay, so do I read that there's a lot of interdependencies on the county delivering their particular part? So maybe we can help the officers on that, Leader.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions from members? No. Okay, can I propose that we approve recommendations in set out in section 14, please? Can I have a seconder? Councillor Faulkner. All those in favour? Thank you, that's carried unanimously, and that ends the public part of the meeting. So I will move that, in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded for the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in the view of the nature of business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item number on the agenda.